welcome to Reflection Podcast. So when I was 6 years old, I adored this girl, Annie Freestone. And I loved her smile. I loved how her eyes shone. I loved her brown hair. I loved that she was shorter than me. I loved the feeling of noticing her looking at me across the classroom and the flush of excitement, sensing that she might be looking at me too. And I loved it when her arm shut up, when our teacher asked questions, excitedly trying to answer every question. And I loved that she was proud to be smart. I had this little first grader crush. I was just so enthralled and wrapped up in just being totally attentive to Annie Freestone. So one day at recess, a friend of hers arranged a game of kissing tag. Now, rumor was that it was Annie's request. I was a little skeptical, yet I was curious, so I consented to the game. I was hopeful that girls that I wasn't interested in wouldn't come after me. Very soon, my fear of being undesirable was very much so assuaged. I found Annie relentlessly pursuing me, and a mixture of emotions in my six-year-old self that I couldn't then understand or even hope to comprehend, they filled my little being. I wanted to kiss her, but I was also afraid of her. And I was afraid my kiss would disappoint her. I was worried that everything that I liked about our interaction would change. That my sort of weird, innocuous six-year-old version of voyeurism of watching her across the classroom and noticing her on the playground and watching her as we walked home, and that all of that would just kind of go away if I gave in and let her catch me to kiss her. I felt like I'd have to share myself in a way that I didn't know how to. And I just plain didn't want to lose playing tag. So I ran. And I ran. And I ran. And Annie pursued me with glee and desire in her eyes. And I remember looking back at her and seeing her smiling and just chasing after me and having so much happiness and joy showing on her face. Until this moment came, when the smile faded from her face and the gleam and desire that was in her eyes faded away. She slowed down her pursuit, and then she just altogether stopped chasing after me. And she walked back to her friends. And thereafter, there were no more smiles from Annie. I didn't see her hovering near on the playground or as we walked home with our friends after school. Her glow and presence in class went from this feeling of a secret closeness to a dim coexistence where we were barely aware of each other as we lived lives opposite one another on the edges of this great chasm. And as a youth, I often wondered what would have happened if I had just let Annie catch me and let her kiss me that day in first grade. Yet somehow I never gleaned a lesson out of that experience. And my dating life has been Annie Freestone on repeat. Women I desired pursued me to no avail. I never really let them catch me. And after that, I reversed. And I often just reversed roles and found women that ran from me until it was clear I'd never catch them. And I'd sort of have that feeling that Annie must have had when we were just these little six-year-olds in first grade. What's happened is as an adult, I've gone out with a lot of different women that have been very good, very beautiful, very wonderful, and I've admired them from afar. And as they let me in, I've had that same sinking feeling that I had as a six-year-old of being afraid of what was there, being afraid of what would happen, being afraid of letting that feeling go and having to develop something new. I've dated women who were abused in past relationships. I've dated women who abused substances. I've dated women who had no self-confidence. I've dated women who suffered other great traumas in their lives and struggled to comprehend them. And together we both kind of had that experience of me as a six-year-old not being able to fully understand how to evolve this interest in one another into something new. And it's as if so many of us have these ancient and untreated wounds when it comes to love. We're often unwilling to look at and heal those wounds. And over the last few years, the frustration that comes from running has just sort of started to sink in a little bit as I've tried to approach it. And I've worked through things in therapy, and I've read and studied and tried to understand myself a little bit better and understand the dysfunctional relationship patterns that I have. And it sort of illuminated to me this problem in running away in my own life's proverbial game of kissing tag, and brought me to this place of experimenting and trying to learn to not run away from the Annie Freestones of my life. And so as I've been exploring and trying to learn how to love and be loved, cue another proverbial Annie Freestone. And the reality of this person is a woman I've been dating this year, Kate Hubrick. And I had the chance to interview her last year for one of my first episodes of Reflection Podcast. And she had that same old allure of an Annie Freestone, someone that I admired from a distance. She's one of those people that just has so much goodness and so much light in her eyes. Someone that you like to see all of the amazing things that she's doing. You'll see Facebook pictures of her and hosting people on Halloween with her homemade donuts, or, you know, that she's gone off to Greece, which is where she is currently, to go help refugees. You'll see her being a good friend to the downtrodden, lifting them up, and being close with her family and doing all kinds of amazing things. And there was so much in our acquaintance that just caused me to admire her and who she is, and that she's a reflective person that is intelligent. And so this year, I would say that Kate and I have been engaging in a game of kissing tag. And the real question for me has been, can I learn how to slow down and let Kate catch me every now and then? And thankfully, I've been able to. It's been a process for me to do so. But what a wonderful thing it is to learn how to slow down and allow relationships to develop. At the end of last year, I decided that I wanted to try and take things a little further than just my distant admiration for Kate. And so while I was traveling around last year, around the country, around the US, and just listening to people and hearing their stories, I just really wanted to get to know her better. I was having all of these beautiful experiences talking to people and hearing individual stories just in the few hours that I would spend with them. And then I'd move on to a new city and meet new people or spend time contemplating by myself. And I just started to really yearn for a little bit more of a deep connection. And so I reached out to her. She and I had had our interview earlier in the year, and I reached out to her and we started talking. And as we started to talk, I really liked it. And instead of doing the sort of compulsory continuing to run away like the six-year-old me did, I asked her out. And I asked her out a month before I even got back to Utah, where she was at the time, where she was at. And it seemed awkward and weird and unusual to ask somebody out on a date a month in advance, but it turned out to be such a good choice, something that we both looked forward to, and we continued to talk and engage each other. Now, when I got back to Utah, We had planned a date out, but before we could get around to going on the date, she invited me to go with her to this women's group in Bountiful, Utah, to hear a pharmacist talk about medical marijuana. And this is not something that I would naturally do or naturally be inclined to go to, but she had this budding interest in going to be involved more in communities and more of that kind of ground level type stuff. And Bountiful, Utah is a very, very conservative place. And though that's where I have lived the last several years, I don't necessarily have the same perspective as most of the people there. But it was fun to go and just sit with her and to hear other people's voices and to realize that she has this deep curiosity about the people around her. Very similar to how I do. Now, we started to kind of awkwardly go out with each other and try to navigate dating a little bit. And I kind of went out with a few other people, and I was just curious about her and curious about whether or not I could make something happen of value with Kate. And one of the beautiful things about this proverbial match of kissing tag that Kate and I have been playing is that as I've stopped for a moment to let her in, I've been able to reveal who I am a little bit more to her each time through conversation, through experiences. I took her to see Mogwai, this post-rock band from Scotland. They were coming through town performing this soundtrack for a movie that they had done the soundtrack for about nuclear weapons and nuclear power. And it's just this very, very dissonant hour of music. And they showed this documentary in the background of them playing this music. And I took her to this thing and thinking like, well, I'm going to drive her nuts with this. And she's going to either realize that she doesn't want to date somebody like me, or she's just going to accept it. And consistently, Kate has time and time again accepted those moments where I've stopped in our game of kissing tag and let her find out a little bit more of who I am. And she's accepted that. We went on a road trip to California in the late spring, and we left after work in Utah here. And so we were driving late, late into the night. And there was a friend in the back seat that had fallen asleep. And as I drove and Kate sat in the front seat with me, she and I talked about vulnerability and the idea of vulnerability and the ideas of being vulnerable to one another and the amount of vulnerability that we have been experiencing with each other that's sort of foreign to both of us. And there again, we had the opportunity to step into each other and accept each other and see each other as we are. We've read things to each other that we've written about, and we've shared thoughts, intimate thoughts, thoughts that are still developing. And I think that's something that's so, so difficult for us as human beings is when we're not sure what we think yet, to let those half-baked thoughts come out of our minds and out of our mouths and fall into the hearts and ears of other people. It's so difficult. It's so vulnerable because there might be something wrong. There might be something that we don't actually believe that we're sharing in those things. And she and I have learned to sort of have those conversations of talking about things that we're thinking about, but that we don't know about yet, that we're still exploring. Again, an opportunity to stop in our game of kissing tag and be known by each other. And currently she's in Greece, and she went to Greece last year. And that was something that I admired so much, is that after she and I did our interview in the spring of 2016, she revealed all of these desires to help people. And she talked about them, and she talked about in this very vulnerable moment about sometimes being complacent, about making the arrangements and jumping to do the things that she wants to do, to do the things that she knows she's capable of doing. And then she just went and did it. I had so much respect seeing that play out in her life, that she would see something that she didn't like about how she was living, and she just changed it. She didn't wait around to change it. She just did it. She went for it. She jumped on it. And that's opened up this opportunity where she's back in Greece again right now, currently. And it's been difficult in our game of kissing tag to have her gone away. But by the same token, it's been so beautiful that her desire to develop a relationship with me has not impeded her desire to be a good human being and to reach her goals. And I couldn't be happier to be playing this game of kissing tag with someone that has that kind of character. Now, as I got kind of contemplating this idea of love, and yeah, I'm talking about a lot of stories that are going on in my life currently, it just really made me think of this old Greek or Roman myth that I loved for so long for a different reason than I love it today. And that's the story of Apollo and Daphne. Now, if you don't recall this story, or if you haven't heard it, Apollo is this great god, warrior-like god. And he, you know, after fighting the basilisk and conquering it, he and his crew, his cronies, they kind of saw Cupid with his bow, and he made fun of Cupid. He's like, "That's pretty cute that you've got a bow. Why don't you leave the weapons to the real men?" And so Cupid was just kind of devised this story, or devised this plan to show Apollo. And so he struck Apollo with an arrow of love and caused Apollo to fall in love with Daphne. And he struck Daphne with an arrow of flight so that she would run away, much as I ran away from Annie Freestone on that playground in first grade. And Apollo was just so smitten by her that he literally started to chase her. He started to chase after her, and she just ran so swiftly, and he increased his speed, and it got to be such an intense chase that she just kept running and running. And he calls to her. He says, Hey, I'll keep chasing. I don't want you to get hurt though. Just slow down a little bit because I don't want you to get hurt feeling like I'm going to overtake you." And they just continue and they continue and they continue. And finally, she, being the daughter of a god, she calls out to her father. She says, "Take away my beauty." And as she's offered up this prayer, her limbs start to get a little stiff as she's running. And then as they get more and more stiff, she finds herself rooted to the ground, and she finds her fair skin starting to turn into this bark, and the hair of her head start to become these leaves, and her arms reach out as branches, and she becomes this tree. And Apollo watches this transformation occur before his eyes. And as the story says, he goes up and he walks up to the tree, and he still feels her warmth in the tree, and he speaks to her and says to her that, "I will still love you as you are. The Roman legions will pass by you, salute you on their way to Rome." And in that moment, she nods the summit of her tree in acceptance of his love. And I used to always think that's such a powerful story, because here is this man that loved, and he just chased for love, and he kept going and he kept going. And even in the sight of this change, this transformation, he loved. And a few years ago, a friend of mine pointed out that story is actually a little bit rapey and creepy. And from the female perspective, that really actually kind of sucks, that here's this woman that's not interested in a guy, and he keeps chasing after her and chasing after her and chasing after her. And it's like a game almost to him, where he's like, Hey, I'll slow down a little bit. Like, we can keep the chase on. I just don't want you to get hurt." And that sort of like took some of the romance out of it for me when that friend pointed that out. I still wanted to be deeply in love with that story, but it was pointed out that it was kind of rapey, and it sort of ruined it in a way, and I didn't want it ruined. I just wanted to like rewind and not have that concept of that story in my mind. But I think it started to take on a new meaning, one that is good, one that's not rapey, one that I think is beautiful for us to learn from, which is to say that love is never going to be what we thought it was when we started out. Inevitably, when we fall in love with somebody, as we come to learn who they are, they're a completely different person than who we imagined they were. And therein lies that moment of real, true love, of loving what you found in that person that you were initially interested in. And so the point of me doing this episode right now is that it's Kate's birthday, and I want to wish her a happy birthday. And I want to say to her that I'm not very good at this relationship thing. But I'm super grateful that she's letting me play kissing tag with her, that she keeps chasing. And I'm grateful that I have the chance to stop every now and then to let her find who I am, to let her kiss me, to let her discover who I truly am. And it's such a beautiful thing to kind of allow us both to be the Daphnes of our story, that we can both be revealed for who we truly are in some small way. And I don't know how this story plays out for the two of us continually, but I am so, so deeply grateful for a good woman that has shared herself with me in some way, that sets a good example by serving people on the other side of the world that so many of us often forget about, that she takes care of those Yazidi refugees that she works with, that she loves them, that she seeks out their stories and tells their stories and shares their stories, that she cares about her family, that she makes time for her family. I'm grateful that she's adventurous, that she's curious, that she's intelligent. And I'm grateful to get to see that and how it's manifest and how it plays out in her life. So Kate, thank you. Thanks for playing kissing tag. Thanks for catching me every now and then. Thanks for being patient when I run. And thank you all for listening and joining here on Reflection Podcast. Until next time, have a good one.